5, about half an hour following the edict by Paul Meursault and Scott Kennedy in direct violation of the promises he'd made to Save Our Shelter, the campers organization, to keep the campground open through December. We'll see if the community of Santa Cruz, if the campers, and if those who support them are ready to tolerate that kind of mendacity, that kind of double talk, that kind of duplicity, that kind of bad faith, that kind of abusive conduct by individuals who like to style themselves the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and of course the progressives on the city council, like Squawk Box Scott Kennedy. Or do we call him Cave-In Cop Scott Kennedy? Not sure. In any case, we have a phone call coming in.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris Brasdale. How are you doing, Chris?
Здравствуйте, как ты, Тазьяш? You know, this little problem in the campground is so piddling. There's about 40 to 80 people there who want to winter over. Maybe, you know, in a month, maybe about 30 will be out there shivering in the field, recovering every night from the rains. And compared to the scale of human suffering in the world, like, there's 19,000 troops of women and children supporters of Fikret Abdik, who fought with the Serbs against Bihak, supposed safe area, in which were 10,000 troops, Muslim troops, before the U.S. rearmed Croatia, threatened Serbs bomb in 2 months, caused 500,000 refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's about 2.5 million refugees.
Well, you can always go after the ones who are closer, you know.
What's that?
You always go after the ones who are closer, you know.
Well, this is such a small amount of people that we should congratulate Citizens Committee for the Homeless for opening a 40-car homeless parking lot for homeless with cars to park in.
When was that? That's new to me.
I don't know where it is, but I think it is open at this point that they are.
Really?
They're not getting credit for some things that they are doing, and they are taking on a little bit more in providing food and for the campers that are staying. But I don't think it's such a huge human problem that they have to use repression to solve it. I don't think they should ever have to use repression against people who are willing and able, or maybe willing but unable, to attempt to survive the elements in a winter.
Well, I think you're right, and that's exactly what they intend to be doing, I think, come Sunday or Monday. And if there's a car park, by the way, I'm glad to hear it, but I have heard that from nobody else. I do know that there was a modification in the sleeping ban law this summer that allows churches to take 3 vehicles as part of the ISSP program.
As far as getting pneumonia, this is more unlikely if you're next to a building with showers and dryers.
Obviously.
And at 9 a.m., at least open between about 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Which is the situation for that open-air shelter campground right now.
Right, and I hope that the Citizens Committee will replace those outhouses with some brand new ones. If not, I'd be happy to volunteer, you know, $200 matching fund right now, open-ended, to replace those units, because that's really what we need, is some brand new.
That's a nice offer, Chris.
Even if it only goes for another couple weeks, and I hope it doesn't. I hope they realize that this human problem is not so great that people won't solve it on their own if they're given the means to do it.
Well, I think they're planning to lock people up and lock up the property pretty quick.
How then, as Board of Supervisors has one, I mean, isn't he one? He's now the DA, so you should...
You're talking about the DA in San Francisco?
Right, you shouldn't do any time in San Francisco. You're...
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't mentioned that yet.
Brown has won. Yeah. Jordan is no longer the mayor of San Francisco, and Brown has said he will end the Matrix program. Does not see poverty as a crime.
Well, he said a couple things. Some people think he's rather ambivalent on that issue, and he's backed by large businesses. Some of his rich clients are big downtown businesses.
Well, he's said it twice, that he will end the Matrix program. He said it in yesterday's Chronicle.
I'm glad to hear that.
An article a couple weeks ago, so we have to hold him to that.
Definitely. I think, I mean, I've got an interview which I don't think I'm going to have time to play.
Okay, do it, and I'll listen to it. Those interviews are really valuable.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Okay. And by the way, your recent writing has been very valuable as well, and I recommend people read your most recent stuff. I don't always agree with it, but it's always stimulating.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye now.
And that's activist Crossroads Chris Brazda, controversial, sometimes radical figure in the homeless movement, who does a lot of writing and a lot of work on the internet, and who also has a deep concern for the fate of people half a world away, who indeed are in much worse straits than any of us are here. But you got to work with what's closest to you. That's the way I look at it, at least at the moment, and that's why I do that. I don't know what I'd do in Bosnia. I would probably be 6 feet under many years ago. But in the studio with me still is Dragon's Heart Dan, as I insist on calling him, one of the Save Our Shelter activists who's going to be out. Well, actually, this morning when they were going to take away the... when they did take away porta-potties and part of the Citizens Committees for the Homeless's latest health measure... I love it. Dan, you guys had some plan if they were going to take away the third porta-potty. What was happening? Tell us about that.
Let's see if this mic working.
Okay.
Are we working? Yes, we are. Go ahead.
Talk. Okay. Yeah, this morning when they hauled the two porta-potties out and left one, I had decided, because as far as we knew, they were the rumor was that someone heard them trying to get the third porta-potty taken away. So I immediately went and got a long chain, and I was going to chain myself to the porta potty in an effort to keep the porta potty. And because
we've heard of people being chained to fences, we've heard of people being chained to houses. In fact, 6 years ago, in a building about 150 feet away from where Dan was probably standing when he made this statement, the annex to the River Street shelter, two women chained themselves to the bathtub in an attempt to open up the annex of the open-air shelter. That was on New Year's Eve, 1989. Those two women were, I believe it was Malou Pinecrone and Linda Edwards, two activists, and they did get that building open. But you were going to do even, you're going to do them one step better, Dan. You were going to chain yourself to a somewhat... should we say, badly repaired, overflowing porta-potty. I think we have to give you the Medal of Honor. Go ahead.
And what I would like to do is I wrote down, because sometimes I get a little emotional right now, because this situation is very stressful for everybody. And because I'm trying to do everything I can, I have a hard time getting my thoughts together. So I wrote down what it is about that porta-potty. Basically, I was willing to get arrested. I was going to chain myself to the last porta-potty and get arrested, if necessary, to save the porta-potty or show the citizens in Santa Cruz what inhumanity is being done at Coral Street Shelter. I also read an article that stated in the past years that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless evicts homeless. I'd like to read that again. It says, and it was in a past year article, that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless evicts homeless. I would like to know how they can have that title, Committee for the Homeless. It's a direct contradiction, and I don't understand how they can have the name. Also, another thing that was on the lighter side, and I get kind of emotional thinking about this, is last night Barbara Riverwoman brought a lot of her friends from her church, and we came down in a large circle down there, and they had some musical instruments, a banjo and a guitar and a couple drums and things, and they were singing religious songs and wonderful songs to kind of get our spirits up. We're all smiling and things, you know, and it was just like a lot of the tension left as we went there, and there was a lot of really beautiful people from her church. Thank God for them, you know, because it took a lot of the tension off my brain. You know, I've had a headache for almost 2 weeks now. But I really like to thank those people from her church for coming. And so everybody kind of lightened up, you know. I know that these are really good people at the shelter. They're not, you know, they're not bad people. I don't understand where people get that homeless people are criminals. And another thing that I'd like to talk about is Sarah's, a girl out there named Sarah. She had a dog that she was using for protection, and the dog was very good for protecting her. And for you pet owners, you know, who know how important it is, your pet is, you know, really important to you if you have one. She told me yesterday that she was going to have to put her dog to sleep because she couldn't find anybody to take it. And this is a girl that's about 24 years old. And she's one of the sweetest persons I have ever met in my entire life, you know. And because of this situation, she was going to have to put her pet to sleep. Luckily, I told someone else about this that's outside of the shelter and lives out in the country. They're going to meet today at 1 o'clock, and she's going to be able to get rid of, you know, get her pet to someone who will be able to take care of it and care for it well. And but there are other people who are definitely going to put their dogs to sleep. There's one dog out there. We don't know what's going to happen to it. We're taking care of it right now, and we're in charge of it. And we're hoping for the best for that dog. I think we will find an owner for it before this is over with. Otherwise, it will have to be put to sleep. And the other thing that's ironic about this is the people that are there are actually put in the same position as these dogs. Something might happen to them. When they go out in the forest, there are people out there who are unsavory characters. And a girl like Sarah going out in the woods, you know, trying to camp or something like that, something very bad can happen to her. She's vulnerable to anything. She might not be a fighter. She might have, you know, something to protect herself. And so I just want to point out that people are, it's unbelievable. And what's happening here, that they're not really trying to help us all that much. And I'd say the one last thing that really bothers me is there are certain people that are hooked into this system at the shelter itself. And, you know, people that live there. And one of the common things I hear those people talking about who don't really care about, you know, things is, oh, well, this happens every year. Every year you're put out into the, they're turned out every year. So I guess that makes it okay. Because it's been done every year, it's okay. This means that they do not have the ability to change or show that they have a conscience or a heart. Oh, well, it's been done every year. It's okay.
Wow. Hey. I think, Dan, you're going to have to host the next show, obviously. Once you get out of jail, of course. Next show will be Monday. I may be in jail, folks, in the next show, so I may have to do a special broadcast from Cell 6. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call-in number here, in case any of this has excited any thoughts, feelings, or ideas, is 427-3772. You are attuned to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Civil rights for the poor, or lack of civil rights for the poor. Probably that's what we're really dealing with here. And the show normally goes till noon, but if we don't get someone knocking on our door soon, we're going to extend the show. This morning we had another interview with Calamity Jane Immler. And Calamity Jane, as you may know, is an activist who has been instrumental in opening up shelter space and starting a free meal program, in exposing abuses in bureaucratic situations here in Santa Cruz. I've given her all kinds of praise, and we're able to kind of get her opinion of what was going on, and we're going to play a little bit of that for you, but first, this phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is a small correction. Jane Immler was one of the handcuffed women that you were referring to earlier.
Oh, in the River Street Shelter Annex.
That doubled the size of beds in the River Street Shelter.
Oh, I guess I got my handcuffs wrong there.
I remember.
Now you were there. You weren't arrested, but you were on the scene.
I was there as a journalist.
You were journalizing. I see.
That day.
There were a bunch of us. I think we had about seven or eight, and there were nine of us were arrested, I think, including.
Oh, but those women in the bathroom were having the most fun.
Yeah, they were whooping it up.
And Jane, I wanted to.
But let me play a little bit of Jane and get her on before the show ends.
Okay. Bye.
Bye bye. Thanks, Linda.
And we will launch now into this interview I had with Jane this morning.
Phone call to Jane Immler.
Okay, I'm on the phone to Jane Immler, a homeless activist and Emma Gray from Santa Cruz. Morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Your letter was printed in the paper today.
Oh, you're kidding. How badly did they edit it?
Well, it was somewhat edited, I have to admit.
Did they take out the good stuff?
Well, I could read it to you.
Sure, do that. Well, it's been so long since I read it, wrote it, and let me see if I can find the copy so I can.
Okay, we're on the phone line here to Jane Immler.
And actually, I did read her the letter, which anyone can read who gets today's Sentinel. That's the December 15th Sentinel, Friday Sentinel, to be able to read her letter. She talks about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and tries to correct a few misimpressions. Again, talking mostly about the history of the Citizens Committee rather than about its current activities. We, however, in this interview, talk about their current activities.
Known as Calamity Chain, a co-activist of mine back in the late 80s, and actually she was at this before I was, in the mid-80s, hunger striking and marching to the Board of Supervisors and running for sheriff and doing all kinds of things, weren't you, Jane?
I think that's right, but I'd have to make one little bit of a correction. You were at it even before I was, because you were involved in the Scotts Creek matter.
That's true. Back in 1977,
right.
Linda LeMaster and Shannon Cassamo and others were...
At that time, I wasn't involved in it.
Yeah, there were bunches of us who've been fighting for the rights of poor people, particularly around issues like the right to sleep and to essentially engage in normal life functions without being harassed by the police. And you, of course, had a somewhat broader sweep. You were interested in securing shelter space. That was your goal 10 years ago when you went on a hunger strike. And we've interviewed you a couple of times on the radio in the last couple of weeks around the controversy of the closing of the campground, which is, of course, the Back 40, the open-air shelter, Coral Street open-air shelter, run by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, on whose first board of directors you were.
That's correct, right, uh-huh.
And this morning, there was a letter that appeared in the Sentinel that apparently was a letter in full that you wrote to them. You claimed that you told me that this was they'd done the whole letter. And I guess folks who are reading the newspaper can read the letter in the Sentinel. It talks about revisionist history. What does revisionist history mean, and what do you think people should know here in Santa Cruz about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, its origins, and the shelter crisis that they don't know?
Well, I think revisionist history is essentially the rewriting of history that appears to take out the work of the activists. It makes it look like that, all these not-for-profit put the money in my pocket people made everything happen in Santa Cruz and other places. We've seen other revisionist history written in various parts of the world when they just want to, like I said, make activism look like it really doesn't work. And I think that's what's happened here. And what we saw where it first surfaced, I presume, would be in Paul Lee's book, which was called The Quality of Mercy.
The Paul Lee is the...
is kind of the head honcho now that Paige Smith has died.
At the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is the owner of the property at Coral Street, the Back 40 open-air shelter.
Right. Did you ever do the background work on that to determine that they really do own that and it wasn't just a paper transfer from the city?
No. Oh. Actually, all I've done is gotten a copy of the deed from Catherine Byers, which I guess indicates that they own the property, but whether we haven't really nailed it down solidly. I'd like to apologize to my listeners and fellow activists for not doing that. We had a meeting last night with Enda Brennan, who's an attorney sympathetic to activist causes. Enda and I have sometimes been on the opposite side of the rhetorical seesaw, but he was very cooperative and helpful last night in gathering together with some campers, some residents, I should say, as well, of the open-air shelter, both campers and residents, who were concerned about what would happen on Sunday or Monday when Sergeant Andy Crane reportedly has announced that he's going to make arrests, so at least perhaps not before that time, I think is what he said, but then or thereafter, to remove people from the open-air shelter, the only legal place for people to sleep outside in Santa Cruz, the only actual place possible for many people with pets and couples, those who have no space to go into the armory, to be, and they are indeed there in their weatherized tents, sitting on pallets out of the rain, managing a campground as best they can as the Citizens Committee disappears into the distance to get the police and drag them off. Anyway, Enda Brennan was very helpful, this attorney who talked about the rights of campers and what the situation was there in terms of how they would be able to resist what they could expect from the police department. And of course, we never know what we can expect from the police department. You've actually been arrested here in Santa Cruz before.
Yes, that's true.
And you say that activism is important. I think, for example, Karen Gillette feels activism is not particularly important, or at least not as important as some of us think. And she's said that to numerous campers, and she said that to me, and I think she makes no bones about it. She's, of course, the manager of the Homeless Community Resource Center and the coordinator of the free meal. What's your analysis? Why, if you disagree with her, has activism been important? By activism, we mean civil disobedience, loud and clamorous demonstrations, embarrassing bureaucrats, things of that sort.
Well, I think there's a long history of activism around the homeless issue and poor people's issues in Santa Cruz. Now, it is true that Gillette did get her day center without any, so to speak, activism. But that's a whole different story, because I mean, she went the route of the bureaucrats. I mean, she said she now has her own nonprofit. She takes in the money, so you know, that she accomplished that. But there would be, I don't believe that there would be shelters in Santa Cruz today if there hadn't been activism. I don't think there would be a campground there today without the activism. There wouldn't be a meal there today, a nightly meal, without the activism. These are all things that were, you know, brought about by activism. Now, it's also interesting because that now, you know, it's almost like it come full circle, because we initially started back in 85 asking for a campground. And we're told, you know, there's no way you're ever going to get a campground. And I guess our reasoning behind that was that it would allow the most number of people to have a place to go without being arrested. And back in those days, the sheriff's department was really heavy on arresting people out in the woods. They had that mounted posse thing that would go through the woods.
There's still mounted posses that the Parks and Rec uses.
It is there, because I know I was quite surprised that Paul Lee kept his horse at the same place at the mount. I mean, like, he knew all about it. So, but anyway, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. Getting a jibe in at Paul Lee, eh?
But anyway, I think, you know, activism is very important. It you know, unfortunately, it's kind of interesting, because here in the St. Louis area, I mean, they have all kinds of feeding programs and all kinds of shelters that happened essentially just because people saw the need, went out and did it, and didn't run up against a lot of bureaucracy or a lot of rules and pettiness and stuff that has happened.
Did you find that kind of problem in Santa Cruz?
Oh, yes, very definitely. I mean, you know, after 10 months of marches, demonstrations, meetings and meetings and meetings, and
1985, we're talking.
Right, 1985. And then subsequent other meetings as we went down the road with the feeding program. You know, and you get nowhere, and you have people that are either having their mothers that are having their children seized by CPS, or people being taken to the hospital with hypothermia, pneumonia, et cetera. You just have to say, okay, this is it. You know, we have to go on from there, whatever it takes.
Well, that's interesting. Because we, of course, have a similar situation here. I mean, we have the pretext that's going to be used to close the campground is what who knows what they're going to do. They may use trespass, they may use camping tickets. Enda Brennan thinks they're going to use the health emergency story.
Oh, like they did with the meal.
Right, that it's dangerous to allow people to serve people sandwiches made from their own kitchen, because, you know, they might get something unless it's served out of a restaurant kitchen with a certified health permit.
Exactly.
And
at the same time, they ignored months and months and months of complaints by Linda Edwards, who's now deceased, about all the unsanitary food and conditions that were going on around Karen Gillette's free meal, where there was big wraps and all everything else.
Yeah, there have been continuing complaints about the free meal, the quality of the food, discrepancies in who gets food and so forth.
Stuff wasn't being prepared right.
Yeah, apparently that's an issue, of course, I haven't gotten into too much recently. Karen and I are, you know, kind of communicating information back and forth.
That's important.
Sure. No, I mean, I mean, she and I have different positions, I think, on the issue of the campground to some extent. I mean, she takes a different tack on it, and I have criticisms, continuing criticisms of her programs, and no doubt will. But that doesn't mean I don't. I think she would like to see a campground continue there, and I think she has her doubts about a winter campground. Although the real problem is, as I said, that they're going to use a health pretext to close down the campground. And I guess my response to that is, the obvious one is, you know, it's obviously healthier to be in a community near resources, that fresh water, plumbing, and so forth. If we could only get Karen to open the bathrooms at night, that would be very nice. She's explained it would cost two people's salaries because they're currently allowed to sleep there, and they need, you know, that the building that serves sort of as a you know, there's a quid pro quo going on there.
I'm sure that she could find some campers who'd be willing to sleep there for nothing and do the job.
Well, these are staff members of the Homeless Community Resource Center, though.
You know, they can, you know, can't they sleep somewhere else?
One would hope so. But, you know, of course, the issue...
That's a very lame excuse.
I was not terribly impressed with it. I think that it's possible that she could change her mind about that if we could keep the campground open on the basis of our own activism. Again, it's the activists, I think, that will be pressing the agenda. The bureaucrats, so the people who run the programs, tend to go along. The county health's attempt to close down the property, I think, is in line with their general hostility towards independent activity by homeless people outside of bureaucratic guidelines, outside of the paid programs of what I call often poverty pimps.
Exactly, and I think you hit the nail on the head.
Now let me ask you about this word poverty pimps. I used it in a recent flyer that I made yesterday about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And there are some who have denounced this and said you're taking a good group of people who are not really getting any money out of this themselves, who are, you know, donated years and years of their time trying to put up a community house, transitional housing, who have worked for the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, establishing a shelter where there was none before. How can you call them poverty pimps? And, I'll give my reasons, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, go ahead. Give your reasons.
Well, I'm most recently calling the people around the Citizens Committee poverty pimps, because I'm talking primarily to Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling. Paul Marceau is the head of the Satellite Shelter Program. Daryl Darling is the manager of Community House. They both get salaries, so they, in essence, their jobs depend on services for the poor, and continuing those positions depending.
And luckily, I can interrupt myself in the middle of the tape to add an additional point as to why I would term Citizens Committee for the Homeless being a poverty pimpish in this situation. The whole community house project, which began to concern allegedly with low and very low income and homeless youth, that was part of the property provision under which they got that property, has changed. $200 to $600 is not very low. Maybe it's low, but it sure as hell isn't very low to spend that much money a month, which is what they're going to charge for people going into that that program if they are set up their 10 trailers, as they intend to do, if they can get the compliant city council and its other bureaucratic pals to pass that stuff. Another reason, which I don't mention in this conversation with Jane Emmer, that I would term them poverty pimps is because the whole delineation and framework, the whole flow and structure of the program has now been changed because the money source has been tracked as being a better source to go after is going to be people whose checks, who have checks, people whose checks are going to be cut off unless they go into housing. It gets a new requirement in one of these programs. So the nature of the program, which previously had been for very homeless and very low income, has now shifted following the money, so to speak. And I have never quite bought Jane Immler's argument that these people are, you know, simply and completely poverty pimps. But that's not because she isn't right. It's because I am a little bit queasy about accepting it without a full investigation of my own, which I have never really undertaken. I find the whole business of following the money and looking into those details pretty damn sordid, and it interests me more to try to rally people around questions of civil rights, where even previously corrupt people can, you know, shake off or slough off their old skin of corruption, get out there and change things, and rally around a basic issue, something as basic as the right of people to sleep at night, something as basic as the right of people to have, to maintain their own campground in a situation where nobody else is using it, nobody else wants it. And there's miserable weather conditions, seemingly issues that nobody can reasonably oppose. And then what you find, of course, is you have unreasonable opposition, which masquerades as rational opposition. They have 100 reasons and 48 excuses, but it's filled with lies and nonsense, as we have in this situation here with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Poverty pimps,